As you're seated, and as we can let people get to the place they need to go, you don't need to stand just yet. I'm just going to read a definition to you. This is for the word repent. To repent means a change of mind that results in a change of conduct. Repentance is not merely sorrow. It involves a complete change of attitude regarding God and sin, and is often accompanied by the sense of sorrow in a corresponding change of conduct. Such repentance does not arise within a man himself. The Bible says that repentance is a gift from God. So if you ever see someone that is seemingly stuck, not believing God in a particular area of their life, it's because God has not given them repentance in that area. So that's why it's so important that you pray for one another. When you see something, it's not for you to judge or find fault with. It's for you to pray for them in that area of their life because they don't really see it. And it's God that brings repentance or a change of mind. Let's all stand. Praise God. Sometime back, the Lord said to me that my children were my salt. And salt is meant to preserve. Like you put salt on food or meat in the old times, they used to put salt on it to preserve it. So what I found is that in regards to my children, when they come and we're talking, discussing something, I find out it's the words, the wisdom, the instruction that he's given them, the Lord showed me that I can apply it to my life. Amen? So I'm hoping that today is different for you because I pray that the word of God minister to you in deep things. It's easy to be surface. It really is. It's easy to be surface where you only let God touch the top part. Just like kids, like they take the bread, the trim off the bread, and they eat the inside. We don't want you to do that. We want you to eat the bread too, the whole piece, the crust, the hard part, the parts you don't like. I want you to receive some things you don't like today because that's what's going to really change you. It's necessary. I believe that God changed my message. I bother my wife every Sunday morning and say, would you please type this out? And she types it out so faithfully. And then she hears me at church. My goodness, God switched something on me. And she said, why did I type that up for you then? She doesn't do it like that. I do it like that. But I do understand something, and I hope you begin to really grasp it, that you're so important to God. I've never met Gabriel, but I saw him in the parking lot, and the Lord said, I've been waiting for him. Wow. Praise God. I was in a restaurant the other day. I was telling my daughter about this. I was in a restaurant. I went there to eat breakfast, and as I'm sitting in the restaurant, you know how the Bible says, try the spirits, whether they be of God or not? Okay. Now, this is just an example of that. I'm in the restaurant, and I see this girl walk by, and I'm like, why am I waiting so long to get my food? And the waitress never came back. But when she did come back, I looked up at her. I said, huh. I said, I gave her my order. She left and came back. She left and came back, and then the Lord began to speak to me about her. And what he was saying to me was that she needs to be blessed by what you need to give her a blessing or tip her. And I said, I'm thinking, and whenever your mind is contrary to what God is telling you, he's going to keep dealing with you till you change. Because remember, his ways are above our ways. They are higher than our ways. His ways are above our ways. He's wanting to bless this person. And I'm like, Lord, I only got so much in my wallet, so much on my credit card. But see, he's not looking at your resources. He's looking at your obedience. So I'm sitting there, and the Lord says, she's going to college. I said, okay. So I said, that was my test. When it says try the spirits, God can tell you something about that individual so you can try the spirit. So I asked her, I said, are you in college? She says, yes, this is my final year. I said, the Lord wants me to bless you. And see, what you need to understand is not to be ashamed of how God uses you, because when I go in a restaurant next time, I'm going to look for her. You see, God's trying to open up doors for you to be able to witness and talk to people about him. See, it's not about me. But he uses your goodness and your mercy and your wallet and whatever resources that you might possess so that he can reach someone else. Because he wants other people to know that he loves them too. Amen? So the title of this message is The Purchased Possession. The Purchased Possession. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to skip way far ahead. The purchased possession is you. Okay? You understand that part. And we're just simply going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, let me not go beyond what you've spoken to me, but not let me be. Don't let me be afraid of what needs to be said and spoken in this place. We pray that your word would minister to the hearts and the minds of your people. Lord, I don't just want a heart response. I want a change of mind. I want to see repentance today. Father, I'm asking you that you would minister to our hearts by your word and by your spirit, that old things would truly be passed away, and then all things would truly become new. Father, I pray that we would begin to be a people that will accept the love of God that is shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and that we will believe you. Believe you, Father, for all that you've done and what you've desired to do, because we're going into a season where we have to be free from the sins, the weights, those things that so easily beset us. Help us to walk in light and not in darkness. Help us to confess our faults one to another, and most of all, confess our faults to you. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Glory to God. I use this scripture a lot, and I really don't believe people think that it belongs, that it applies to them. That's a better way of saying it. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's two things, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and it says, who can know it? And the reason I brought that scripture out today was to help you to understand and help you remember that you shouldn't trust your heart in anything. That's why I said, that's why the Bible says, try the spirits, whether they be of God or not, so that you don't let be that, so that you're not led into things that have nothing to do with God. See, there's a young man that I work with. And he's very straightforward. We have a few straightforward folks in this building, in this church. They're very straightforward, and they don't butter things up. They don't soften the blow. They just tell you like it is. And that's okay. We need both. Amen? So because we have that in a body, I know what responses I will get from certain people, without a doubt. And if I'm looking for sympathy, there's some people I would never even go to. I don't even look their direction. Because I know it's not coming. So why pretend? So there's a young man that I work with that's just like that. He's very straightforward. And I thought I was being considerate about the people that were in the population where I work at. And he was saying to me, he says, why are you concerned about that? I looked at him, who are you? I had to turn and look at him. He said, why are you? He said, that is not your job. I said, but my heart goes out to them. That's what I was looking at to him. That's how I looked to him. I wasn't really doing that. He was trying to say, you're concerning yourself about things that you should not be concerned about. That is not your position nor your job. They need to come in this place and take care of their responsibilities. Ooh, Jesus. I said, where did you come from? You're so prickly. What happened to the nice, calm, nice person that you were when you first started? But he came in, and literally, when he came in humble. But when he got the position, he changed. He became who he really was. And he was so straightforward. I'm not used to being around people that are straightforward. But I had to get used to being around him because he likes order. And I'm not a person that always likes order. Ask my wife. Don't ask her. Because, you know... I talked to you before about how God wanted me to leave my past behind, and I'm going to reiterate some of the things I said, perhaps I said then, but I need you to understand, I hope there are not things in your past that you're holding on to. Jonathan was ministering on Wednesday, and what the Lord showed me something, and I'm not going to do a demonstration for lack of time, but as he was ministering, the Lord showed me, he says, when you have something in your life that you are not willing to let go of, I pray that you hear me. When you have something in your life that you're not willing to let go of, it's going to make you numb. The way that the Lord showed this to me in a vision, he showed me grabbing hold of a rope. And as I was talking, that person that was holding the rope was wrapping it around me. And when they got done, he said, I was totally covered. Well, in the vision, he showed me a man, myself, being totally covered, wrapped up in this rope. And after a while, if you've been around and you've done silly things like I have, if you put something on your finger, you cut up the circulation. You stop the movement of it. And so he was showing me in that example is that you've held on to things in your life that have stripped you from being able to move freely, even in the church. The way you think about yourself is so important to God. If you don't think that you're worthy of his love, you're stopping him from moving in your life. If you think, oh, I've done so much bad in my life that you can't love me, God, then you're putting a hold on God and you're not describing his character. That's not of God. And see, if you really take your time and read through the Gospels, every time he encountered the disciples, he was trying to change the way that they think about themselves, about other people, and about their walk with him. When I understood, and I still have God still dealing with me about this, I've been purchased, and so have you. When something in the Old Testament, in the Bible, has been purchased, I no longer belong to me, and neither do you. You see, when you understand that you've been purchased by Jesus Christ, the price that he paid on that cross was for your sins, not for his. He was innocent, but he was willing to purchase us through his death on the cross. And sometimes we don't even take time to think about what he's done for us long enough to realize that, Lord, you wanted the best for me when I didn't want it for myself. You came in the pit and you dug me out of, like we used to sing that song, out of the miry clay. You brought me out of places that I wouldn't go. But you cared enough for me to bring me out of it. And even if you've never been in the world of sin, but we are all sinners. The Bible says that there is none righteous. And see, the reason he can say that, because he already said what our heart was like. But what I don't want you to grasp hold on is this one thing. Don't think, oh, my heart's so bad so I can't change. I can change. You can change. Because he says the renewing of your mind. If your mind gets renewed about your sin, if your mind gets renewed about what you've gone through in your life, it is so significant. Oh, some of us have been through divorces. Some of us has been through betrayals. Some of us have been hurt by people. But if you don't see those things through the lens of God, through how God sees it, it will wound you. It will keep you stuck. You can't go further. And you might say, I've seen it. I can see it in some people's faces. Well, I'm beyond that. I'm past that. No, you're not. If you're not living for God with your whole heart, you're not past it. I thought it was, this is something that is private to me, and I'm not saying this is about you, but this is something that, like I said, is very private to me, that since I've been going through this process with my family of, how can I say it? I don't know why the Lord just put the word in my mind, being resurrected. So as I'm going through this process of being resurrected, that means that something always, when you're getting resurrected, something has to die first. And sometimes some of us have tried to run this race with God without dying first. And even some of us not as honest with God or with other people to say that this is who I am or this is how I identify myself as a sinner, but I'm not willing to change yet. And God doesn't run from you when you have that kind of mindset. But what he does, he keeps working on you. He does not throw up his hands and walk away. He says, okay, this is how you feel. Thanks for your honesty, but I'm going to keep working on you until you begin to change. I'm grateful that we have a God that doesn't throw up his hands and walk away from us. But on the other hand, I'm thankful for a God that loves the truth, because he is the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I've been in the way, but I have not always experienced a life that I want to experience with God. because I've held on to things back there that should have been left back there. I identified too quickly with the things of my past and what I've been through more so than in my new identity in Christ. You have to understand and see, it's not so much people saying things about you that really should be the motivator. But if you find yourself not looking in the Word of God, looking for the liberty that comes through knowing the Word of God and bringing the life of God into your life through wording, to reading and studying the Word of God, God's going to send someone to you because He loves you that much. He's going to send someone to you that says, I see you, but I don't see you the way that God sees you. Because you're much greater than what I'm seeing manifested in your life. And the only way that happens when God sees something different than what He designed. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? So it means that in every situation that I encounter in my walk with God, I have to approach it with faith. Some people say, well, I've been smoking for 30 years. I don't care how long it's been. You need to pray that God will give you the faith in that area of your life so that you might change, so that you might live. And when you haven't changed or when you haven't given something to God, He's going to bring that full cycle, full circle, all the way back again, and you're going to see it, and you will think like, man, I thought I was over that. I thought I was done with that funky attitude. I thought I was done with feeling sorrow every time someone's name is mentioned. I thought I was done with the memory. And see, that's what God can cleanse you from. When you can honestly say, God, some of you are not giving God time. I'll just say it like that. You're not giving God time to fix your heart so that you can go past or get past or go beyond what you've been through. Talking to me, and I'm talking to you. And that's what God wants to heal. When I stood here and He said they need to be healed, the only thing that I know that you would need to be healed from is from your past or what you're currently going through. And see, you might not have said, oh, that's me. But see, if you read through the Bible, when Jesus was going through the villages and through the different places, what you find Him doing, people started crying out. People started crying out. That means that I'm tired of this 38-year journey. I'm tired of being bound like this forever. I'm tired of, and I've gotten really tired of people coming to me and saying, God has so much more for you. And I'm saying, like, how am I missing it then? How am I missing it? Why are you seeing something that I'm not seeing? What that tells me is that I'm not spending enough time in God's presence. And when you get offended, I want you to really get this in your spirit. When you are offended, God's trying to get your attention. And you're supposed to take that offense back to God and say, God, why is what they said or how they acted offending me? Because if I stay here long enough, I get bitter. If I stay here long enough, I get numb. If I stay here long enough, I won't want to be a part of this church anymore. If I stay here long enough, I want no part of them. And then how can you love somebody if you aren't no part of them? The Bible says that how can you love them? How can you love Him who you've not seen, speaking of Christ, if you can't love them who you have seen? See, you got to think about it. You've got to love those who you see that are coming into your life. Because if you can't love them, why should God bring any more through the door? If you can't be inconvenienced, if you can't be hurt and restored to someone, if you can't have a misunderstanding, if you can't acknowledge that I love the world more than I love the church. Out there with so much excitement and so much fun, I could turn up and do whatever I wanted out there. But then there's those that are in the body still praying for you, still reaching out to you, asking God to save you because you don't want His salvation yet. And you pray to God that God will spare them the sorrow and the heartache. But whenever you come through those doors again and you say, I don't want the things of God, that's on you. Because when you come into the house of God, we're going to give you our best. We're going to love you as much as we possibly can. We're not going to hold anything back. Because that's what we're called to do, is to love. I asked Gabriel, what does that mean to you when God says, I've been waiting on you? And he had a response But then God said, no, that's how he thinks. But what I'm saying is this. I've been waiting because I've been trying to get you in here for a long time. And there's when people come into the body of Christ and they are genuine and you know that they've been through a lot, I'm not afraid of him. And what I'm saying, I'm not afraid to love you. I don't know if you explain. I can't explain to you any other way. Is that I'm not afraid to tell you what God is telling me about you, nor am I afraid to embrace you and know that you're my brother because you've been baptized in his name. I don't have to know your past. I don't have to know anything more about you, but that the fact that you came to a watery grave and all your sins are passed away, and when you start sharing your testimony, I'm just going to say, praise God. Look what he brought you out of. Look what he's done in you. I love you before you love me because God's in me and God wants you to love everybody around you. But your love can't be pure if it's tainted with your past, if it's guarded by your past. One of the things that I was alluding to this earlier that God spoke to me and I was very surprised. He said, you have blamed yourself for everything that has ever happened in your family. Now, wait a minute. I remember a time when I even told my wife, I said, Risa, if I had known our life was going to be this hard, I would have never married you. Not because I didn't love you, but because I wanted to spare you the pain that we went through. That's how much I loved her, because I don't like people to go through pain. And then, so as we progress, every failure, every wishing and hoping and believing God for a home and it falling apart, worshiping and loving God, but people kept saying, I don't know if this is the will of God for you. I don't know if you're ready for this. And confirming to you what you felt, but not what he said. You have to understand that God's ways are above. And he sees you different, and sometimes the things that you're holding on to keep you where you're at. And if you don't let go of those things, let go of the bad relationships. Let go of them. What does that mean? Let go of the effects they have on your life. Let go of what it does in your side, inside you. Inside you. Oh, you may hide it. You might smile and hide it here. But when you go home, if you're always troubled about your past, that means you're not free yet. Can we all stand for a minute? If you take your attention off me, close your eyes for a moment, and just lift up your hands and say, Lord, search my heart. That's all I'm asking you to do. See, to be real with God, just say, Lord, search my heart. And we're not looking for the wicked ways. We're looking for the ways our heart has deceived us. David had a glimpse of what it was like to say, God, search my heart and know me. Only God knows you. Only God. Not your brother, not your sister. God may use them prophetically or however he chooses to use them in your life, but only God really knows what's in your heart. And you can be deceived by your own heart if you say, well, I've gotten over it. But yet the effects are still in your life. You can begin again. Could you imagine that? A new start with God? Could you imagine what it would be like to say, I've done these things, I've asked you for forgiveness, and I believe that you've forgiven me. I believe that you've forgiven me. Because he said there's nothing, when he went to the cross, he died for every sin, past, present, and future. There's nothing that God cannot forgive. And so I was walking around in the church trying to minister to you, keeping the blaming myself for everything that's ever happened in my family. And God said, no. He never wanted me to carry that burden. And no one else knew. I didn't even know until he showed me. This is what you're doing to yourself. This is what your heart is doing to you. This is how you feel. This is what you're dealing with. That's why you feel like you have no joy. That's why you feel like you're numb. That's why you feel like you're not growing the way that you should. Because there's much more to me than you see. The word blame, I know you're standing, just give me a moment, is an act or expression of disapproval. When you blame yourself for something, you're saying to God, God, I don't approve of myself anymore. It's a rebuke, and it's something deemed wrong. Responsibility for something that is wrong. You place the responsibility on yourself for something that's happened in life. Who are you to take on that kind of burden or to carry that about in your life? And you wonder why you don't feel the joy of the Lord. Because you're carrying something that God never intended you to carry. If you just repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I believe that all things are sanctified through prayer. So, Lord, sanctify my heart and my mind to serve you. You may be seated. So don't blame yourself. There was a time in my life where I was attempting to minister to my family, and my daughter said something. She said, and I could feel her heart was just broken. And the Lord gave me the wisdom to understand what it was. She was, in a sense, condemning herself, as all of us probably have done, for not even knowing. Could you imagine you making a mistake or you doing something and not knowing the damage it could do and then blaming yourself for it and never letting yourself free from that bondage? That's how the Bible says a heart is deceitful. Because we take on things because of our heart that God never intended us to take on. I hope you're getting this in your head. It's like, okay, where's all this pressure on? Why is all this stress? I prayed with a woman one time, and she was at the altar, and I didn't understand, but I was trying to be obedient to what God was showing me. He said, go tell her that she does not have to be the husband and the wife. She was a single mom, and she was taking on both responsibilities, and she thought it was the right thing to do just because her heart said it, because that's how she thought. And when I told her that, she just began to weep. It's almost like somebody let me out of jail. Now I don't have to be the strong man, and I don't have to be the gentle woman. I don't have to treat my children a certain way. I said, no, you have to just be you. God never intended for her to walk with him that way. That's why her kids were like, Mom, what's wrong with you? Because she was filling out two roles. She was fulfilling two roles, and she didn't have to. Sometimes as men, we think we have to take on responsibilities of so many things that God never intended. See, if you think you have to do it, why would you seek God to help you? Does that make sense? If I think I know already, why would I seek God? But if I come to God as a child and say, Lord, I don't know how to raise these children, it puts me in the right posture in order for him to help me and help them. So every time you humble yourself in the sight of God, he can help you navigate through anything. I don't care if it's a business. I don't care if it's a family. I don't care if it's raising children on your own. I don't care if you're a school-aged child. I don't care where you are in your life, but God is able to help you if you just humble yourself and ask him for help. Because you have to understand, as you walk with God, you're not going to understand everything. Some of you look at other people's lives saying, oh, that's just how they are. They're always excited about God. They love God out of the room. When they came out the womb, they love God. Right. I can't be like them. But you never ask God, why not? Why can't I love God in my own way, but just like them? Because I know they're sold out, and I want people to see that I'm sold out. Because you'll know if you're sold out. And see, but then you'll also know if you're pretending. Don't waste your time pretending with God. It is really a waste of time. But the way that you get past the pretense is being honest with God, but not staying where you are. What do I mean by that? Oh, I love to drink. Mm-hmm. I love to smoke. Mm-hmm. But if you don't ever ask God to help you not to do those things, you're still in love with your sin, what you used to do. And that's how you identify yourself with it. And so when someone comes around you that loves God, you never even think that you're going to be like them. You never even consider it. And you keep staying where you're at because that's where you're comfortable. And God wants you to come out of it. He's tired of you making excuses about how you've lived so hard or life's been hard or God, I mean, the world has dealt you these blows. You're just simply making excuses to stay where you are. Don't stay there. Ask God to help you. Something Pastor had said to me, and I thought was so, I can't remember what the context of it, but he said, stop asking people to help you, but ask God to. He might have said it to the whole church. But it's amazing when you see God do something for you that you've prayed about, it's something about the confidence that it builds in your own heart. It's something about how you know that, man, I prayed and God answered me. It does something to you. It causes you to walk with God in a totally different way. And when you begin to trust God, it's really a lot easier to trust what he says. And if you trust what he says, you're going to be obedient. And then the blessing of the Lord will start flowing in your lives. I keep and I pray to God that the way that he's taking me now never changes. I used to identify myself with an alcoholic father, but I don't anymore. I didn't know that there is something, whether it's traumatic, but your life, the past things that you've gone through in your life from a child up to however old you are right now have affected you in some way. And if you can't admit that, but then take it to God. I don't say just say it. Don't just recognize it, but give it to God. Let go of it forever. And then he can begin to show you how you can take that. That becomes a testimony that says, God delivered me from that in my past. I grew up like that, but that's not me today. That's not me today. Because there's some things that he has to break in us. I want you to think about this instance in the Bible. Here's Peter, a disciple of Jesus Christ. In the afternoon, he's laying on what they have in their country is that you can sleep on the top or upper levels. He's sleeping, and God gives him a vision. And in the vision, he sees these beasts. I'm sorry, there's a blanket, and there's beasts coming from the sky, landing on this blanket. And he hears a voice from God says, slay and eat. And in his mind, in his thinking, he's saying, I've never eaten anything unclean or defiled, or offered to idols. I've never done that. But then the Lord gives them the vision more than once. The last time, the Lord says, don't call that which I have cleansed unclean. He didn't understand the vision until he met and started, when God, these two men come to his home, knock on the door, knock on the gate. He comes down, and they begin to share with them the visions and dreams that they had. And he was the one that God used to reach the Gentile nation. He was the one that had the keys to the kingdom for their sake. Think about this. Sometimes your prejudices, sometimes the way you think can stop other people from entering into God's kingdom. And God has to use his means of talking to you to get your attention so that you might change the way that you think. I was so hurt because I generally think I'm a friendly person. But the Lord showed me is this, that you have an attitude or a way of thinking about certain kinds of people because of their lifestyle, what they've done in their lives, and you close the door to them to my kingdom. That's not a pat on the back, y'all. And what if somebody had done that to me? I never said those words, but God was showing me, the Bible says, love in word and in, thank you. It's what you do as well. So if you have the wrong kind of attitude about a group of people or a kind of person, or and it's always been, I'm trying to make sure I'm saying this correctly, it's always been my daughter that has said, "Dad," like, for instance, I'll give you an example. There's these young men that I've seen, and something that really disgusts me is when a young man's walking down the street with his pants hanging below his behind. That pisses me off. Sorry, guys. You're just like, why are you doing it? I don't even want to see it. And so then it was so interesting, because when I walked around in that attitude and that mindset, not considering them, not considering why they did this, and then my daughter was, and I was talking one time, he says, "Dad, the Lord said that's because they have no fathers." Oh. Then I started criticizing how these women were acting. And she says, "Dad, it's because they're broken." I was like, "You're so smart. Why didn't I think of that? Why do we look at the sin and not the cause? Why do we?" And that's what I'm saying. You can lean to your own understanding, and you can keep people out of the kingdom. This place would be full if some of us would get past ourselves. It really would. Because God's been dealing with me this all my walk. All of it. Not some of it. All of my walk. He's been dealing with me about the way I see people. And I didn't even know I felt or saw people like that. There was a man that was in a wheelchair. It was a man. And he was saying, sir, can you help me? And I said, I can't right now. I'm going to work. Some of you might say, well, that's being responsible. You should go to work. But see, that's how it is when I'm living for Eric, not when it is when I'm living for God. And God will take you on this cycle where you'll make the wrong decision. I say, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm on my way to work. I got to catch this bus. And I left them, never knowing what happened back there. And they were, I don't know what kind of help they needed, but they were asking for my help. But I ran away, got on the bus, and went to work. But now, when I get on the bus and I feel the Holy Ghost, and the Lord says, you need to stay here a little longer, I look at my bus stop and go right on past it, and I'll sit there and I'll talk to you. Why? Because we're all he has. There's no someone else coming later. I was standing on a bus, and this woman, I kept staring. I know this because it's my experience has been, whenever I stare at somebody, God has something he's going to say to me about them. So I kept staring at this young girl, and I said, I hope she doesn't think I'm, staring because I'm lusting after her. I hope she doesn't feel that way. But I'm staring. I keep looking. I said, Lord, what is it? Just say it. Just say it. And he would not speak because it was not time. He had me just looking at her. I kept glancing. I tried to turn away, and I said, Lord, I know when I look at her, you're going to speak to me. And I was waiting, and then when we got to the bus stop, everybody around her was gone. And as she was sitting there, the Lord told me to sit next to her and ask her what she did for a living. So I did that. And when I asked her what she did for a living, she says, I work with people. I try to help people in court cases. But I said, okay. But she said, I was sitting here reading my Bible, and I was telling the Lord that no one's ever prophesied to me. And I was like, really? That's interesting. Never, huh? Mm-mm. She said, everybody around me in my church, they're always getting prophesied to, or God's giving them a word. I said, really? That's interesting. And she's looking at me like, why are you saying that's interesting? We get off the bus together, and I said, the Lord gave me a word for you. And we stood there, and she just wept on the bus stop. And I'm sitting there holding this lady that I don't know. While she's crying on the bus stop, just hoping people don't think I did something to her. And she said, there have been people, men, that have stalked me before. People that have tried to harm me. I'm like, what? So sometimes you don't know what somebody's going through. And where God needs to interject his word, sometimes will have to come through your lips. He's trying to reach people. Isn't he, Gabriel? He's trying to reach people. But we have to yield ourselves to him every time, because he said he'll withhold no good thing from them that love him. And you don't know who you're witnessing to. You don't know whose husband that might be. You don't know whose family that will change. The purchased possession is you. He purchased you with his own blood to show how much he loved you. He said that there's no man that would lay down his life for another. But he did. He came, manifested himself in the flesh, born of a woman, and died for our sins, so that we would have the confidence to identify with his death, to identify with his resurrection, so that we would have hope that we don't have to walk in our old ways anymore. If some of your old ways are still here, it's because you haven't given them up to him. Oh, I don't do that no more. Are you not doing it because you think you're not doing it, but it's still in your heart? Or have you really let go? Let's all stand. When I talk about disconnecting, when I talk about letting go, when I talk about choosing a life of, not a life of pain, the Lord's saying to me in a different way. We can choose pain or we can choose the joy of the Lord. We can choose the sorrow that we went through in the world or in our past, and some of us don't want to let go of it. Is it really that hard to forgive? Is it really that hard to forgive yourself? What we're going to do right now is forgive ourselves. Because I don't want to go this route anymore. You've made choices, and you've had to live with them for a long time. But today, just think, you can have a new beginning. Amen? Can we just lift up our hands one last time? I just want you to understand how important you are to God. And as you understand and as you begin to believe that you are important to him, he doesn't want anything to corrupt the way you think about yourself and the way you think about him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. It used to trouble me when people would come to me and say, Eric, God has so much more for you. Then why am I not having it? Who's in the way? Show me, Father. Who's in my way? Is it me? Am I not willing to believe that you have changed me? Am I not willing? What do I have to do to think differently? Your word says, Lord, that old things are passed away. All things become new. Help me to become new, Father. Help me to look to you and not look to a man. Help me to be sincere when I come before your presence. When I'm praying, I seek your face, not a man's face. But I need you to help me, Lord. I need you to help me to live what you said that I could live, to be set free from old things. And let those things go. I don't want to be bound by anything. I want to know the liberty that's in Christ. And I can't keep going back and trying to start over again and over again. For whom the Son is set free is free. Indeed. There's a life that we've lived where we thought we had to impress other people or be like someone else. But we don't have to do that. We have to ask God to change us. We have to ask God to live through us. And I believe that he wants to live, not just inside, but he wants to manifest his will to others through you. It's not a hard thing. But you have to be willing. Whatever's in me, Lord, remove the darkness. Darkness represents ignorance. Help me to know what it is that you want me to change. Show me where to start again, Lord. What do I need to repent of, Lord? What do I need to surrender to you, God? What is it I need to let go of? If it's old ways of thinking or lies I believed in my own mind and in my own heart, Lord, help me. Because you said the heart is deceitful above all things. Don't let me deceive you. Don't let me be deceived by my own heart. And it says, and desperately wicked. But your word said that you can know it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Create in me a clean heart. Renew my mind and my spirit. And church, don't let those just be words that you say and you don't mean. Because when he starts the process, when he starts the work, don't get up off the potter's wheel. Just let him do it. And if you're struggling, tell somebody you're struggling. If you're going through a difficult time, tell somebody it's difficult and let them pray for you. It says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. There's a process in confessing things to each other so that you can be healed, so that you can be made whole. And God's just waiting. He's just waiting on you to say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I humble myself. Lord, I pray that somewhere in this sermon, somewhere in this time I spent with my brothers and sisters, there's been something said that would wake up, that it would bring to the surface the truth, that we would stop hiding and going through the motions and coming because there's no other place to go, not because we really love you. Change us, recreate in us what you desire. The Bible says that he renews his mercy every day. Let that be towards you. Let that be towards you. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Help us to believe your word, because it's written of us and for us. In Jesus' name. Spend some time in prayer if you can. Just taking out the time to spend a few moments with God.